Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, beloved. This is Sister Judith, and I welcome you to the Unveil Christ to the World broadcast. We're going to continue on in a message I've been sharing from the second epistle of Peter, that first chapter, when he talks about the great and exceeding precious promises that God has given to us, and that He tells us to do something. God has given to us, Peter says, everything that pertains to life and godliness, but we're to do something, and we're to add to our faith virtue or goodness, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance. The King James says, or some versions or translations say, self-control. And I believe if we can grasp what the biblical understanding of temperance or self-control is, we will be able to be victorious in those things that have been placed on your heart by the Lord. And perhaps in days past, you've not been successful. You've tried, you've attempted, but whatever it is, whatever goals you might have, to perhaps to spend a time every day in the Word of God, to have a period of time where you're in prayer, a time to be able to do a particular ministry, perhaps something during the week, going to prayer, whatever it might be, and you have not seemed to be successful. And I believe perhaps you've made the same error that I have, to think that temperance is just, or self-control is a matter of just willpower, that you are going to determine that nothing is going to stop you or make you turn aside to your goal, not to do or to do whatever it is that God has placed on your heart. That's we think of it, we have to somehow work up a measure of willpower so that we will not give in to our habits, our desires, our appetites, behavior, whatever it would be. And I want to share with you that there's another dimension and a key of victory that we can go beyond this, our common knowledge. And as I brought yesterday's broadcast to a close, I was just sharing out of my personal life that before I was saved, I became acquainted with the discipline of fasting, because I knew, even though I was not saved in the secular realm, that it is one of the ways of restoring health to the body. And then in the sixth chapter of Matthew, Jesus is very clear about the disciplines of the Christian life: almsgiving, or giving to the poor, giving as we should of our substance, either material or financially. He talks about when you pray and when you fast. And so, and perhaps sometime I'll have to go and share about fasting, as I've done over the years from time to time. But it is something we are required to do, but how we do it is between you and the Lord. I believe it's the spirit of fasting. There are periods in my life where I've given up sweets or caffeine as a fast to the Lord. I was still eating normal meals, but I was fasting. It's the spirit of the fast. It's denying yourself for an objective. Let's give a scriptural example. Remember Esther, she fasted 3 days and nights without water, her handmaids. Why? Because the very existence of the Jews were being threatened. And God answered her prayer. It's a very powerful way of seeing prayers answered as we devote ourselves and humble ourselves underneath the hand of God. And sharing it from my own life, I mean, I do not have willpower. I'm disciplined to some degree, but I really don't have willpower. I've never been successful on a diet. God has enabled me to go on extended fasts over the years, and people close to me, they'd be aware of it. It's like, oh, you've got so much willpower. It's like, no, I don't. But the secret is I was always able. It was not in my own strength. There was always a purpose. I was fasting for prayer partners. I was fasting for the nation. There were always spiritual objectives. There was a vision involved. There was a purpose that was not just a matter of denying myself food or whatever it was, but it was a matter of laying hold of something that was in the spiritual realm. And that's now I want to talk to you about biblical self-control. What are those heart's desires that God has given you? What are those visions, those goals that you'd like to see accomplished in the days and weeks and months ahead? Well, biblical self-control begins with our minds. It's a control of ourself, our person, by training our minds to understand and focus on what is spiritually the most important thing. It is to discipline our attention to what God has done and is doing. And it's developing a sensitivity to spiritual realities. And that would include knowing how the devil would seek to sow mayhem and destruction and disorder and distraction, anything to divert us from a godly purpose, a godly intention, whatever it would be. I mean, it can be simple natural desires, losing weight, an exercise program, being faithful to read the word, whatever it is. Beloved, it is the strength of our minds, if you will, to see without distortion or illusion what is really going on, and God's wisdom to act considering that, to go forward with the knowledge. You know, this is the very thing that Jesus was able to do. He was able to endure the ridicule, the torture, the humiliation, the incredible pain and agony of his scourging and the cross. Because, why? Because of the joy set before him. It was not a matter of human willpower. It was not a matter that he was steeling himself to endure this. No, he had a vision and a goal that transcended what was happening in the present. He was looking forward to a time that is in our future, beloved, when we will all be together, when he'll gather his family around him, and we will rejoice forevermore. This is what motivated Jesus. This is what sustained him. This is what carried him through those agonizing hours that only God the Father knows how terrible they were. And so, beloved, whatever it is, I want you to understand it's not your willpower, but what you need to do is understand whatever it is, whatever goal, God's purpose is in it. It's not just what you want. It's what God's fine interworkings and intricacy of fashioning your future, of utilizing you, of seeing your gifts brought forth. This is what is in operation. And so it's an exciting, wonderful thing when we realize it's not our willpower, it's not our strength, but it's God working in us, there you go, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Hallelujah. And it's that heavenly perspective. Aren't we told in the Word we're already seated with Christ in heavenly places? That's where you need to be, beloved. That's where you have a perspective that goes beyond the immediate moment, beyond the gratification of whatever it is that you'd want to, blow your diet with. You would say, hey, no, I'm going to have God's strength to do this, and He will be there for you. He's a very present help, beloved, when you call upon him. And so Peter talks about temperance or self-control. In his second letter, he talks about knowledge one time. And as one of the virtues we build on faith, that's knowledge. And then in his first letter, he talks about adversity three times. And that first letter, which would be a great benefit to read, it gives us a framework for understanding temperance or self-control. And self-control or temperance is always paired, it's teamed up, if you will, with another quality of mind, and that is alertness and clarity, sober-mindedness, mental preparedness. And so, beloved, I want you to understand that whatever your goals might be, it's not a matter of your willpower. It's having mental clarity and alertness and sober-mindedness. It is a vision, a heavenly vision of God's plan for you. And beloved, I can speak from personal experience that God will enable you to do whatever He's asked you to do, and His anointing will be with you. Now, there are three areas, especially in our lives, where temperance or self-control is needed. Peter actually lists three places where we really need to be awake and attentive, exercising self-control. And in these three situations, self-control or temperance will determine whether we fail or succeed in our Christian walk. The first one area is in 1 Peter 13 to 16, and I want to take a moment just to read that. 1 Peter, that first chapter, verses 13 through 16. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance, but as He which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. Praise God. Therefore, that word therefore always takes us back to what preceded it. And that what, in this case, is our great salvation. This marvelous salvation we were given was bestowed by our Father. It was spoken of by the prophets. It was something long anticipated. And angels yearned to look into it and see it, and the Holy Spirit inspired men to preach it. Beloved, that salvation that came through the cross of Jesus Christ. Praise God. Well, there's so much more to share, and I invite you to tune in tomorrow at the same time. And if at any moment you are not able to hear a broadcast, I invite you to go to our website, theunveilchrist.org, and you can click on the broadcast and listen anytime at your convenience. But as I bring this broadcast to a close, I invite you to share your prayer needs, whatever those goals, those visions, those desires are. Know that I will personally pray for you and bring your request to the Lord in prayer, and we'll believe for victory in your life. I love you and pray for you every day. That's not just something I say, it's something I do. I love you, thank God for you, and until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless.